It's now time for The Sit Down with Don Tony.
The Sit Down, where Don Tony talks one-on-one with his followers.
What are you looking at?
About the world of pro wrestling, pop culture, and so much more.
The Sit Down with Don Tony.
And now, your host, Don Tony.
Wow, I just was made aware. I didn't even think of it. Technically, this is the third podcast in 2022 because New Year's Eve was actually half 2021, the other half 2022. Yesterday, we had WWE Day 1, and we are back once again for the sit-down. Live calls, live chat, whatever is on your mind today. That's what we're going to get into. How's everybody doing? Wow. A lot seems to have gone down in the world of pro wrestling in a matter of 2 or 3 days. The fallout from the situation with Tony Khan and Big Swall. And trust me, this is a lot bigger than people think. I don't want to get into it unless you want me to. But I will say one quick thing. And I'll take some notes. We'll have a little timestamps afterwards, but Drew McIntyre, we talked about it yesterday on the day one recap, that Corbin and Moss took him out, put his head in the chair, the Pillmanizer. And if you remember last night's show, I said, you know, I wonder if they did that to give him time off so he could be treated for some nagging injuries. Sure enough, today, that was the big story going around. Drew McIntyre has nagging injuries. And no, I can't take credit for that because I didn't report it as news. I look at things. I think about it. I try to understand why things happened the way they did. And yeah, Drew McIntyre ends up, he's going to need time off. Did you see all the websites today? Oh, internally in WWE, they feel that Big E wasn't utilized. Come on, man. We've been talking about that shit for months. That's common sense. That's Captain Obvious. That's not news. Suddenly, everybody in the back feels that WWE wasn't utilized all that well, and they wait until after he loses the title that they're all going to text everybody. Come on. Do we really believe that? They just take assumption or common sense, and they try to report it as news. Brock Lesnar, they had to put him in a title match yesterday. Roman Reigns, you know, there's no telling. I personally think he'll only be gone for a week to two at the most. But there's no telling. What if? So putting Brock Lesnar as a heavyweight champion in Raw stirs things up for the Royal Rumble. The reports going out today is that Big E was not supposed to lose. Did any of you out there think Kevin Owens was going to win? No. Seth Rollins? No. Bobby Lashley? Probably not. So it was not in the cards. Roman Reigns got COVID. The heavyweight title match was changed. And they decided to stir it up, put a little buzz around Raw with Brock Lesnar. And Brock Lesnar's your champion. Did everybody forget that Big E is one-third of what WWE and a lot of fans feel is the greatest faction in the history of pro wrestling? I thought belts didn't matter. You know, it's just people just want reasons to be drama queens. Drama sells. Drama sells. We have bashed that to death for years. You're seeing it in full bloom right now. Full bloom. Somebody talks about Big E losing the title, wasn't treated fairly. 3,000 likes on social media. Drama sells. Not here. Not here. Unless duly deserving. So I'm looking at the chat right now. Believe it or not, see, look, see what I'm playing around with over here? I could take random comments that I think should be on the screen. You don't have to super chat. You know, I mean, I know those do to support the shows financially, want their question spent a little bit extra time with. But, you know, there's no reason why we can't start playing with this a little bit, as you can see. And by the way, for my friends on Facebook, on Twitter, and on Twitch, I opened Twitch tonight, even though, you know, like I said, unless I got nice titties and I'm in an inflatable pool, half naked, playing with rubber ducks and drawing everybody's names on them, you know, nobody's going to go to Twitch for my stuff. But if you post any comments for where you're tuning in, they should pop up on the screen. Keep in mind, I do have profanity filters in force, some other names as well, which, you know. Oh, yeah, AJ Marshall, I agree with you. Brock will probably kick off the show tomorrow night. Bobby Lashley versus Brock Lesnar is a fantasy match that a lot of us have wanted to see for a very long time. Some of you think that that will be the new WrestleMania match. My early thoughts is that WWE is not waiting until WrestleMania to do that. It's possible. It's possible. But I'll say this. You know, that what we had last night is a match that WWE does not do enough. Think about it. WWE overdoes so many types of gimmick matches. You look over the years, anybody that goes back to even the Attitude Era, when you start getting into five ways and six ways, you know, the six-pack matches, there are so few, and most of them stand out. Most of them still hold up to today. So believe me, it was a breath of fresh air to have a five-way match yesterday. I would have went five, six. I'm waiting for AEW to do that. Give me five or six guys, you know, not with a ladder in the ring to get a donut or to get a contract or to get a giant pen, you know. No, six-pack challenge for a championship. I don't know. We will see. We will see. Yes, Michael, I agree. The championship scramble was a great match concept. Great match concept. Yeah, I don't think Brock Lesnar will be celebrating in a hot tub on Raw. Yeah, look, Jeff, I don't disagree with you. It does get tough to watch WWE at times. You know what I compare it as? What's a good, you know? Okay, Chex Mix. Any of you that go back a little ways? Do you remember going to Staples or going to like an office supply store? Supermarkets had them as well, but office supply stores had it. You'd go in the store with the intentions of buying paper and ink, and somehow you end up in the refreshments aisle, and they got this gigantic tube dealer of like mixed snacks all in one. You got pretzels, fried cheese doodles, corn chips. There's like five, six, seven different ingredients in there. Giant tube. Can't even fit it in your car. And it was like $6. Whenever I bought those, I would pull out the corn chips. I don't like corn chips. I would pull out the pretzels. I didn't like the pretzels. But, you know, I took what I liked. I mean, we talked about it on the Patreon shows. You know, one of my favorite cereals is that Frankenberry with the marshmallows. You go on Amazon, you could buy just the marshmallows. Give me a bowl of marshmallows and milk, and I'll be happy. To hell with the cereal. You pick things out. Publix. Thank you, Quadruple H. Publix. So you take what you like. Any other stuff, just let it go. I mean, that's how I look at it. I mean, my favorite baseball team, you know, they have five pitchers, and usually the fifth pitcher is not the greatest pitcher around. Or, you know, not every person is must-see TV. I mean, there's got to be filler. There's got to be filler. If you're going to survive episodic television and be on TV for years, unless you have an insane amount of revenue coming in and an insane amount of viewership. You have to fill in time with other stuff. You got to bring people up, bring people down, bring people up, bring people down. You can't have it where we're on a roller coaster for three straight hours. You have to, you know, it's a ride. It's a ride. So, you know, not everything is going to be good. Just pick out what you like. WWE is like a pub mix. Just right now, it seems like there's too many corn chips in the pub mix. I think we all agree with that. So, hey, that's a good one. Adrian Mircea, Paul Heyman with Brock Lesnar at Raw and Reigns at SmackDown. Sure, why not? Problem is, they're not usually in the same town, and I don't know if WWE is going to want, or even Paul Heyman going to want to travel to two different cities. I mean, it's 4 days apart. You know, gone are the days that Raw would be on Monday and they tape SmackDown on Tuesday. I don't know if any of you remember, they used to tape SmackDown on Tuesday. How much does that suck that you finish Raw and you got to hop on a plane and go to another town so you could be on SmackDown the next day? Crazy Shem, thank you for the personal question, my friend. I still have not gotten an X-ray. They put it off 1 day. I put it off 2 days. My ankle is a lot better. It still hurts, but it's a lot better. My toe is still a little swollen. It's still got a lot of soreness. I'm going to get an X-ray next week. You know, like people are telling me there's not much they can do. I just don't want it to heal wrong. Because as I told you all last week, when I was a kid, they had to re-break my leg and re-break my arm. And, you know, it was not pleasant when I was a kid. So I'm not in the mood for that again. But I try not to think about it. Pain medication helps a little bit as well. Oh, I was never a fan of Dipsy Doodles. Ugh. I don't know why. I never liked corn chips in my life. Never liked corn chips. Oh, wow. We got, hey, look at the purple logo. Mr. Isaacs. Isaacs. How do I say? No, wait. This might be M. Ray. See, his name, and I'm not joke making fun. I'm just saying, you look at his name. It's one of those names that you could actually interpret in many different ways. This could be Mr. I-6, or it could be M. Ray E-6. I don't know. I think it's M. Ray E-6. I don't know. But much love, my friend. Much love. Oh, he says it's Isaacs. Ah, okay. I got it. It's Isaacs, but it's just spelled with I's. Yeah, because I know everybody and their mother has Isaacs taken on the log. So there you go. It's Isaacs. So shout out to you. Hey, I'm glad the Twitch comment comes up because I know some people do want to tune in on other outlets. They're checking out other people on Twitch or on Facebook Live or something like that. And I've been wanting to put everybody's comments on the screen. I mean, I could have it where it's just in rotation, like everything will pop up. But I got to figure out how to get the custom emojis on there as well. But, wait. There's someone else on Twitch. Eddie K. I got that one okay. Eddie K. Shout out to you, my friend. See, it's good that we got the pictures on there, but I got to get the emojis on there. See, like this, Austin, look what happens with the emoji. Oh, wait. That's supposed to be beer. It's supposed to be beer. So, hey. I'm getting it to work. In 2022, I am going to work hard on the production side, and I'm going to tighten up the shows. Yesterday, we did 70 minutes. Outside of New Year's Eve, the show before, I think Wednesday, we did 70 minutes. So if I could get some of these down to an hour, it would be awesome because the chances of everybody tuning into more of the shows, because again, you know, I even admit it. You know, I don't expect any of you out there to tune into 2 hours on Monday, 2 hours on Tuesday, 2 hours on Wednesday, 2 hours on Thursday, and sometimes it goes longer. Trust me, I love sitting in this room, spending time with you. I kid you not. But, you know, I think we also have to be a little realistic about time. Now, fair warning for everybody on video. Do not get creeped out if something falls over here. All right. The panel with the They Live poster on it, the glue has finally dried up. And I literally heard something pop right before we went live. And I was able to hold it in place, but that son of a bitch is going down. That is definitely coming down. So it may come down during the show. And I'm a little nervous because some of the other panels are kind of like taped to each other. So if he goes down, Becky goes down, Undertaker goes down, Piper should be okay. So, yeah, 3 hours is a normal radio show. I don't have 3 hours a day. Plus all the production stuff behind the scenes. They have people working for them. I'm doing this by myself. So I want it to be reasonable time, but not where anybody gets burned out. And the last thing I want to do is repeat the same shit over and over and over again. Because that is a nice go-to with a lot of shows. Hey, you know, that topic got a lot of views. Let's throw it up there again. All right, we got a personal question. RMJ23. He is 25, going out later this month with an Italian girl who's the same age as him. Any advice? All his relatives keep joking about the door test. I don't see, this is going to sound so cliche. Just be yourself, man. Be yourself. Have casual convo. Don't force it. You know, I don't care how much you spend on her. You know, you're not entitled to any bonuses at the end of the night. Do not get, do not feel slighted if she is not reciprocal right at the beginning. I mean, obviously, a lot of you know my story with the 11-17 time. I still get teased with the 11-17. Just go out. Have a good time. You know, go get something to eat. You know, if you're going to go out to dinner, go to a place that is fun, that has some music, but also, you know, has the arrangements where people don't start getting freaked out with coronavirus. You know, there are some places that really have set their areas up. And look, man, I'm sure COVID is an easy discussion to get into with anyone. I would avoid the politics. I would avoid the politics. But if you're on opposite sides of the spectrum with the politics, then maybe you should bring it up just to find out if she's a whack job. You know, because some people are just over the top with their political stuff right now. You know, God forbid. Look, I'm not questioning if you're a Trump supporter or not. But could you imagine if you were a Trump supporter with some people? I mean, that could set off a major storm in that restaurant. Just be yourself. See what she wants to talk about. COVID is probably one of the easiest ways to start a combo. You know, could you believe what's going on with this, you know, Omicron? And then you just feel her out. If she's like, oh my God, you know, it's so bad. You know, I'm always nervous and that. Then you know you go in that direction. You know, just be yourself. If you be yourself, you don't have to keep being a character that you're not. I mean, I see it on social media more than anything else. We've talked about it to death. There are people out there that have built up a certain character about themselves for 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, and they stop believing the character that they developed online. And sooner or later, you know, it does burn in their face. It does catch up to them. There's only so much that you can do, you know? So I think some people out there just feel, hey, social media, you know, no one's going to find out that I'm a fraud. No one's going to find out about this. No one's going to find out about that. The only time they'll ever find out is if you get arrested or if, you know, you reveal something to someone and they out you. I mean, people to the day they die will be a person, a character online, something that they portrayed that they were, that they weren't. Just be yourself. You be yourself. You don't have to worry about trying to cover shit up. That would be my advice to you, seriously. Yeah, firm handshake to the father. Absolutely. You know, firm handshake to the father. Do not whip out sanitizer right after. I actually saw somebody do that. Hey, how you doing? All right. And do not take the sanitizer after. You know, don't have a plastic glove. I know some of you are going to get mad when I say things out there, but if you're that paranoid about the virus, then don't shake the person's hand. Or after you shake the person's hand, say, can I use your bathroom for a minute? And you go in the bathroom and you wash your hands. Just don't touch your eyes or your nose.
The eyes, the nose.
Shout out to everybody who's live right now. AS7607, I am going to be sending something over to you today or tomorrow. And a few people that were sending me a couple of things and we were gathering it all together. I will tell you it's, you know, something financial. So you could go out and buy something or take care of a few things. So a few people out here were just looking out for you. Let's see. I'm checking it out. I don't know, is anybody itching to call in, or do we still the chat? Because look, I want to make this clear. We don't have to do calls on this show, the sit down. The idea is whatever you want to talk about, you know, whether it's in chat form or if you want to call in, either way is fine. I'm not shy against the calls, but I don't want anybody to feel like it has to be calls. I have no notes in front of me. In fact, the only timestamp I have so far is Drew. We might not even need timestamps tonight. Yeah, don't do the Randy Orton. Don't do the Randy Orton. Okay, this is interesting. Michael Gonzalez is asking me if I could have dinner with any historical figure, who would it be? Probably Martin Luther King Jr. Only because I would love to know his view on how some things are handled today. You know, his infamous speech, it's not about the color of your skin, it's the content of your character. I mean, I know I kind of like butchered the exact phrase, I don't have it in front of me. But, you know, it's about the person. And today, you know, it almost feels like, and that's why the, if you want to keep it in wrestling, that's why the Tony Khan, Big Swall situation is so fragile. You can't just look at statistics. Oh, this black person got a win. Oh, this black person was the first champion. Oh, but this black person. You know, that's called quotas. You know, oh, well, my company has 35 black people in it. You know, that's not an excuse. It is a culture. It's an environment. It's where everybody feels like they are equal family. They may not be equal on the food chain because of their abilities or lack thereof or their newness or whatever it is. But there is so much more than just stats. And it's mind-blowing to see how many, there's more, let me put it this way. It seemed like middle-aged white guys were more upset about the situation or on both sides than those who should be. You know, everybody. Now, look, obviously I gave my opinion. You asked it, but I didn't tweet 50 times about it. I didn't put it in, you know, thumbnails and try to make it the center of everything. It's a big story. And everybody should express their opinion. But when I see people like really angry on either side, whether they're angry at Swall or angry at Tony Khan, you know, and some of you out there, with all due respect, totally missed what I said the other day. Everything that Tony Khan said in his tweet, I had no problem with the exception of the last sentence. Oh, I let a contract expire because she wrestles like shit. I know you didn't say it exactly like that, but that's what he said. He had to throw the last insult in, like, no, I broke up with you. No, we didn't mutually part ways. I broke up with you because you suck in bed. And you do it in front of the entire world. Tony Khan went to the entire wrestling world and put Big Swall down. You know, that's a petulant child. He's a child that has to have the last dig. Fox News, a little bit of criticism. And Fox News, their last sentence was, you know, AEW and the Jacksonville Jaguars are looking for a better 2022. Period. No. He's got to tweet 1, 2, 3, 4 times in 10 minutes. He's a petulant child. And when I watched news outlets deleting tweets right after, because Tony Khan asked them to delete it, that says a lot. And also, there's other journalists out there who have yet to talk about it. And let me explain to you how the sausage is made. Now, I'm not chiming in on the Tony Khan, Big Swall stuff anymore. I've already given you my opinion. But this is how the sausage is made, everybody. You have certain people out there that will wait 3, 4, 5 days before making a comment, because they could sit back and wait to see what is most accepted right now, comment-wise. What has died down? What are people clinging to the most? And then they go in that direction. Oh, did you hear so-and-so and what they said about it? That is so spot on. It is so this. Yeah, they sat and waited 5 days to see, what can I pick? What is the most trendy thing right now? That's pussy. That's pussy. Seriously, that is just, and a lot of people see right through that. Crazy Shem says, what's wrong with this guy? Look, you want me to sum up Tony Khan very easily? And remember, I like the guy. I know some of you right now are like, well, you really don't show it. No, I actually do give a lot of credit to him, and I've given you examples. Tony Khan's just immature. He's just immature. He is still very immature to be in the position that he's in with such a big wrestling company like this. He's very immature. And when they, you know, like I saw Disco Inferno write something like, you know, I told you all, you know, when you say that you're going to be this social, you know, it's going to backfire sooner or later. I said it 3 years ago. They're going to be the first millennial promotion. First millennial promotion. And they're going to say all the emotional things. Oh, remember the Young Bucks? Oh, we want everybody to have health care. Mr. Jackson, Mr. Buck, give me one health insurance company that would insure independent contractors who are allowed to work everywhere else as well. Name me one. I'm in the insurance business since 1998. There are none. There are none, unless they are employees of All Elite Wrestling's corporation. Unless they are employees where they are working just for there. You think when I provide insurance for a contractor, one of the first underwriting questions that they ask is, do you work for anyone else? Are you affiliated with any other companies? If they're insuring you, or even health insurance, I'm giving health insurance, right? What do you do for a living? What's the company you work for? Are you affiliated with anywhere else? And then they find out that you're working for this. You think they want to cover you when you're out gallivanting doing other jobs on the side? It's the first millennial promotion. It really was. I mean, and that's not necessarily a bad thing. Not everything's going to be perfect. And, you know, there's going to be other people that are going to speak up. Because at the end of the day, Big Swall has to worry about Big Swall. Harris B has to worry about Harris B. Every single one of you out there have to worry about yourselves and your family. Every wrestler on that roster has to worry about themselves. Some of those wrestlers know they have zero chance of going to WWE. So they might defend AEW a little bit more because they have some security there right now. There's nothing wrong with that. There is zero wrong with that. I do taxes, but I really stay away from it as much as I can. I do it for some customers, mostly elderly, that really don't have access to a computer. H&R Blocks are not like where they used to, but you know, if you got like an easy form, it'll take you like 15 minutes to do your taxes. You don't need me. You don't need me. Trust me, you don't have these crazy ass deductions where you could deduct this, or you have interest revenue from stocks and stuff like that. It's not that hard. It's not that hard. Oh, don't get me wrong, Jesse Goddard's fans, they have insurance with me, so I do make some money off of them. I mean, you know, helping an elderly customer with a 1040 EZ only takes about 10 minutes of work, so I'll do that for free. But, you know, I don't have people coming in from off the street that have no business with me whatsoever. Can you do my taxes for free? You know, then I'll have 200 elderly people at my door. So I get something out of it. Yeah, I'm not going to repost what you said, James. We do not want to get negative attention on yourself. Hunter Hursley, what do I think about Jade Cargill joining Playboy? I will be totally honest with you. Just for me today, Antonio Brown was, you know, the topic of conversation all day today. But I have not heard anything about Playboy, but I am going to type it and see. Okay. Oh, this is from October. Jade Cargill would love to pose for Playboy. I don't see anything wrong with that. Jade Cargill is a very, very, very attractive woman. Not as attractive as my fiance, but look, if you want to flaunt it, flaunt it. You know, why is suddenly nudity or modeling suddenly so looked down upon? I mean, I understand in wrestling, a lot of women want to be hired based on their ability, not just based on their looks. And I get that. I totally get that. But there are women out there that work hard to have the body that they have. And if they want to reveal all in a classy way, that should not be looked down upon. So if she wants to pose, if she wants to do something, good for her, man. Good for her. Yeah, Austin says, ooh, can you imagine Liv Morgan? Look, you can imagine almost anybody on the rosters in, you know, posing nude. It's fantasy. It's fantasy. You know, obviously when you get a little older, you get my age, it gets a little creepy territory. That's why I usually don't, when people say to me, oh, FMK, you know, marry, kill. Have I cursed on the show yet tonight? I don't know if I have. But I try to stay away from them because it comes off as a little creepy. You know, you get a little bit older and you start talking about somebody. I still think about Scott Hall with Paige. Remember that? Scott Hall posted a little compliment to Paige, little flirtatious compliment on social media. And they're like, look at this old creep, pervert. You know, I realize... That's why sometimes I don't follow certain younger women that wrestle or do podcasts, because I've seen some younger women that will say, wow, I'm creeped out. You know, this person started following me. There was a girl not too long ago, Lars. I consider Lars friend of the family. You know, not personal, but friend of the family. Lars started following someone on Instagram, and he liked about 15 of her pitchers. And what does she do? She goes on social media, all forms of social media. Oh, God, I feel creeped out right now. This guy is liking all my stuff. And I just thought, like, wow, that's just out there. You put all these pictures up. Somebody likes it, you know, whether they like only one or they liked all 15. But, like, I don't know, man. I think that's just a little extreme. Oh, I could give you this answer. By the way, I don't have it here, but I will post it tomorrow. Mish and I will be back for Breakfast Soup Raw. I got the wedding picture of Mr. and Mrs. Cardona. Beautiful picture. Beautiful picture. Why does Matt Cardona still have me blocked? I'll be honest with you. I'm one of those, like, look, I could care less if somebody has me blocked. You know, most of the people that have me blocked still have me blocked for well over 5 years, maybe 10 years. Steve Austin has me blocked because of my friendship with Tess Broussard. You know, that is his ex-girlfriend, the one that made some wild accusations, and I interviewed her. And, you know, obviously that was in a prehistoric telephone ages, and, oh, my God, the audio quality is horrendous. But, you know, she made some wild accusations about Steve Austin. And look, as a man, and, you know, I was supposed to go to California to hang out with her. It's not like a hidden story. I became friendly with her. You know, not in a physical sense, but I was going to go to California and hang out with her. This is about, it's got to be almost, what, 20 years ago? And when we did the interview and she started making some really outrageous accusations about Steve Austin, as a man, I was like, wow, what a piece of shit. That was it. That was it. Blocked. Blocked from everywhere. And, yeah, I took the interview down because I just didn't think it was appropriate. And I knew that a lot of people would sensationalize. Every few years it surfaces and someone tries to go after Austin for it as a result, because no one else ever interviewed her about that stuff. I just thought, no, people are using it for other reasons, and those accusations have never been proven. And I am a fan of Austin, and I don't know if any of that stuff is true. It's never been proven, so I believe in innocent until proven guilty. But once, you know, I refused to block her, that was it. Blocked. I'll be blocked forever. So, but as far as Matt Cardona goes, I have been blocked since his storyline with Kane and Eve Torres when he was in the wheelchair. And, you know, like I said, that for all the Zack Ryder fans, bottleless moment, this is the pinnacle of his career, his WWE career. This is the pinnacle of his career. Anything else is going to either be a fluke or it's just going to be bullshit. And that was just my opinion at the time. Blocked. That was it. And look, he totally reinvented himself. Freaking hardcore champion. I mean, I've given him nothing but praise for many years now. But, hey, I am a nobody. So why would he go out of his way to unblock? So, look, I deserved it at the time. It is what it is. I don't think about it. So, I know I ended up being right. But still, you know, I don't blame somebody for being pissed off at that. But mostly everybody who had me blocked have unblocked me over the years. I think, you know, back then, I am definitely guilty of being drama queens as well. Back in, what, the late 2000s, like 2008, 9, 10, around that time. Everything TNA crapping on and everything else. I mean, Aces 0.8. I mean, I just ripped everything. And you grow up. And you realize that, you know, try to find the good in everything. You know, you still call out the bad stuff, but, you know, not a lot of people like, you know, the improved. See, some people say the new and improved Don Tony. No, it's just the improved. It's just the improved. You know, I evolve on a lot of topics, a lot of things that, you know, I felt completely different with a couple of years ago. I've changed. Here's another one about diet. Well, Dennis, his question is, have I decided on going keto or paleo this year? I keep saying paleo because he should be a baseball player, Charlie Paleo. Paleo. As of right now, I'm pretty much going to stick with keto, but I might do dirty keto, which means, you know, you could have like a couple of little things, you know, that, you know, it's not going to be perfect, but no more coconut oil, no more MCT oil. I may end up going paleo so I can have some fruit, some potatoes. Right now, the only reason why I went back to keto after New Year's Eve, no joke, I could bring her in this room right now and she will tell you. New Year's Eve, I ate pizza. I had three cannolis. And I also had some yuca. I had some yuca. And I could not sleep at all New Year's Eve night. Last night, I could not sleep either. Last night, I fell asleep at around 7 o'clock this morning. I slept for about 2 hours. I tossed and turned. Not only that, I don't know if you could see it. This all got red. I especially yesterday, you probably saw me going like this, like constantly. I had got so itchy from it. My hair, my scalp got dry. I found my, just because it was too much of a shock. So I went right back to keto for most of yesterday and today because my body's so fat adapted. It should have been pretty easy to go right back in. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to stay on keto for a little while, but I'm going to gradually move to paleo. So I'll have some berries. I'll have an apple. I'll have some, and then gradually go off keto and just be on paleo. Paleo, you can have a little bit more, but I still want to lose some more weight. I want to lose at least another 20, 30 pounds. I'm getting married in September. You know, I want to be able to post the wedding photos and look good. So, yeah, so that's what I'm going to do. You know, I wanted to have some good food on New Year's Eve. And since we were celebrating it here, I said, okay, if I'm going to break keto after 3 years, I'm going to do it with all of you. So, and it was funny because for those that didn't tune into the New Year's Eve show, I called my mom, wish her Happy New Year. And a lot of you heard it yourselves. The first words out of her mouth was, did you have your pizza? To her, it was like a big event. Oh, my God, he's eating regular food. All right. Checking it out. Why does Hulk Hogan have me blocked? Because of all the stuff that I said about him, his son, the jailhouse interviews. What he said about Graziano, that it was God's will. You know, I mean, I criticized Hogan big time back then. And when he, it's funny because, and I've told this once before, when he got caught for the racist comments and he wanted everybody to give him a second chance. He wanted everyone to, so, you know, me like an idiot thinking if I write a nice emotional letter to him apologizing for the stuff I said before, and that's what I did. I wrote, typed up a little email, included a picture of my grandmother, who she adored him. When she was buried with a Hulk Hogan figure also. She loved Hogan. She died in 91. But she was a Hulkamaniac through and through. And I gave the email to someone who I trust, who is friends with Jimmy Hart. And I know that it got to Hogan. And No response, no removing a block, nothing. And I realized, you know, the guy is, he is what he is. You know what I mean? Of course, again, I'm a nobody. There's no reason why anybody should go out of their way. But, you know, I did what I wanted to do, and I felt the need that I had to say this. Get it off my chest. And it wasn't even looked at. So, no sweat off my back. Look, I do believe Hulk has changed his ways. I do believe that he has learned and grew up from it. There's words that I used to have in my vocabulary that I would never use again. I'm sure there's words in your vocabulary you would never use again. There's certain things, even if you don't intend it the way that it's perceived, you still know you upset people because of it. People do learn from their mistakes. Now, Hogan's initial crying was because he got caught, not because, you know, he was totally upset about, you know, his actions. But over the years, he did. And a lot of people of color came to his defense. And a lot of them were very close friends with him for a long period of time. And if they're the ones saying, look, this guy's not a racist, you know, you got to take that with some value. You can't just write it off like, oh, that's another fuck up. You know, you can't do that. So I really think he has learned. I just wish, and I've said this before, I just wish that Hogan would have gone to some minority schools and talked about race relations and talk about things. And Hogan never did that. And it's obvious because he didn't want to be confronted with criticism. Hogan does not do any like appearances or engagements, you know, where he can be confronted with his actions. And not everybody could, you know, slowly defend it or explain it or apologize for it. You know, the guy, I can't speak for him, but I wish he would have done that. I think that would have went a long way for a lot of people. So, you can't say that Hogan did not change his ways. Give me an example how he has not. Give me an example. We don't have any. There's just some people who refuse to forgive him. And that I totally understand. If you refuse to forgive Hogan, I respect that. I respect that. I don't like Bubba the Love Sponge. Michael Gonzalez, still can't believe Vince said that on Survivor Series. Yeah, because it was more like slang. You know, it was not... In his head, it was not malicious. It was slang. It's like with some, it was stupid. It's not, he's not the first white person that I, look, I did shows in the past with co-hosts that said that word. You never, ever heard that word come out of my mouth. I just, you know, never, I just didn't want the backlash for it. I just never felt comfortable saying it. But there's some people out there, they think they're from the hood or Vince thought he was from the hood, you know, with the do-rag and all that. And he's like, you know, he was trying to be a stereotype. It was just stupid. It was stupid. JBL, Lion says JBL said the same thing. He offered him a platform to go to schools. That is interesting. I did not know that. I did not know that. That's fascinating. Man, I did a total 180 on JBL. That's another person. He had me blocked for a long time because, you know, I used to rip him apart with the Blue Meanie stuff, the goose step that he did, and a few other things. And I just started seeing little things that he does. You got to see what he does for impoverished countries. I think there's a boatload of people out there that have no idea all the good will, the good work that JBL does outside of the United States. I know most people will think of Fox News and his finance stuff, but man, JBL, I did a total 180 on, and absolutely, JBL is one of my favorite veterans in wrestling to just follow. He's a good guy. He turned into a really good guy. Somebody offered me a bottle of his, I don't know if you'll know this, about 10 years ago, 12 years ago, JBL came out with his own energy drink, energy shots. I think it was called Jumanja. And somebody, about 3-4 months ago when I was eating all the old candy and shit, somebody said, hey, I got a bottle of JBL's Jumanja from 12 years ago. Would you drink it on the air? And they said, I don't know. Energy drinks kind of get me a little nervous. Expired energy drinks, we got to do another one. I still have. I have the entire set of the sour gum, the NWO sour gum. I still have constipated Sting over here, the constipated Sting, the bubble gum. I have shit all over the place. Still have the Steve Austin soap. This is the best. Hopefully I don't drop a whole bunch of things. This is the best. I don't know if you all saw this. Steve Austin soap. It actually talks. You get it wet, it talks. But if you look at the phrase over here, it actually says, pick up the soap now. What? Pick up the soap. Now, if you think about picking up the soap in jail, you know, think of that reference. Yeah, this actually talks about picking up the soap. I still haven't opened it. It's still sealed. I got shit everywhere. I don't know what to do about these. Scarlett's is somewhere in this room. Man, was I a fool for buying this. The first ever autographed item. That's why it says number one on it. Of all the autographed stuff that he did, I had the first ever autograph. I offered it to him. Actually, I publicly offered it to him, but I didn't DM him about it yet. I don't know where the Scarlett one is. But I was going to send it to him. Because, look, obviously they're not thrilled about being released from WWE. But, you know, it's a learning experience. And he's got a lot of fond memories there. So maybe having his first ever autographed item there might be something that he would want to have on a display. So, you know, I'm going to offer it to them for free. Obviously for free. So, well, I will say this. Prince Albert's with the 5-spot, the super chat. What's my predictions for 2022 in pro wrestling? His is Ronda and Asuka returning to the Royal Rumble. Well, we're going to do a predictions episode. Excuse me. Went down the wrong pipe. Excuse me. I muted it. Because I think it's disrespectful to call for the show. It went down the wrong pipe. Oh, that sucks. See, this is where I wish Mish was on the show so he could talk and I'll be muted. And all you'll hear is this. I'm okay. We're going to do a whole prediction show. So I have not really thought about it all that much yet. I did say that there will be, AEW will have a trios belt. AEW will debut a trios title. I made a prediction yesterday for 2022. I can't remember what it was. Wow. One second. I don't know if that made it. No, I think that did make it a little better. Ronda Rousey returning this year? Yeah, I could see that. Asuka's got to return. I mean, there's no reason to release her. She's one of the top stars in the company. And there's no reason why she cannot be a champion again. Ronda Rousey returning, as much as people are upset about all the releases, you put Ronda Rousey in there, She's got 2, 3, 4, 5 people that she could feud with a month or two at a time. And there's a whole year. And if you follow, sorry for coughing. When I say that rent down the wrong pipe, it truly did. All right, now we're good. Now we're good. You look at the WWE pay-per-views. They usually only have one women's match, sometimes two. You got Charlotte or Bayley or Bianca or Sasha, and then you put Ronda in there as well. There's your two matches. That's all that's needed. So Ronda coming back would be excellent. I think that is a high possibility. Asuka's got to come back. But I think the Trios belts, AEW, will create that. That will debut this year. There was something else. I can't remember what the hell it was. It was a really good prediction, too. I remember a lot of people like, yeah, that's a pretty good one. I don't remember what it was. I have to look at some of the synopsis from last week. It was one of the shows last week. Bob the Builder, oh, I've been staying away from this topic so much. Who's the more influential wrestler, CM Punk or Randy Orton? I know that this has been a hot topic on social media. And it looks like this is the route we're going tonight instead of calls, which is cool with me, man. If you notice, this show is all your questions, whether you call in or we do live chat. So I'm good with this tonight. And honestly, it might be best. What do you mean by influencer? See, I know what people were trying to say online, and I saw the Dave Meltzer comment that if you remove Randy Orton from wrestling, wrestling would be pretty much the same. But if you remove CM Punk from wrestling, that it would be different. Look, man, I look at Randy Orton and CM Punk as two totally different animals. An apple and an orange are fruit, but they're not the same type of fruit. Randy Orton is one of the core four that came out of WWE 20 years ago. One of the core four. You think of Evolution, you think of all his feuds, you think of his reliability, how he could still go to this day. I mean, consistently, one of the top WWE stars in the last 20 years. CM Punk, obviously more of an influencer with his mic and everything like that, you know, but you know, I don't compare the two. It's stupid. It's stupid for anybody out there to try to compare the two. They're two totally different people. Totally different people. Randy Orton eats, cheats, shits, bleeds this business. Randy Orton follows all the etiquette, all the rules. And yes, I know about the stuff he used to do years back, but I'm saying Randy Orton, if you talk about someone who still comes across as old school as far as a wrestler, that still, you know, respects the legends and this, this, and that, and tries to be a leader and doesn't tolerate bullshit. Why do you think, like, whenever people bring up dirtbags in wrestling, like I was listening the other day, Brian Less with Jim Cornette, and they were talking about Hannibal. And Brian Lass says, you think Randy Orton would have tolerated Hannibal in a locker room? Well, why immediately go to Randy Orton's name? Randy Orton's a leader. I'm not saying CM Punk is not a leader, but he's a totally, totally different person. I don't compare the two. If you ask me who I valued more as a wrestling fan in my lifetime, Randy Orton. CM Punk has had some tremendous moments. But Randy Orton always came across as a team player. CM Punk, I don't think he always came across as a team player. I'm not saying that he's not, but I'm just saying that you look at Randy Orton's career and you look at CM Punk's, it's unfair to compare the two. It's unfair to compare the two. And whoever started that online, you know, I almost feel like people start these because they want to please a certain group online. You know, why compare Punk to Orton? Why? I think that's unfair for both of them. Thank you, Bob. Breakfast on you tomorrow. Absolutely, man. I will definitely have some breakfast in the morning. So I didn't even eat dinner yet tonight. So I'm going to eat something as soon as the show's over. See, the good thing is we're already at 70 minutes, so we'll be finishing soon. Time flies when you're having fun, but, you know, having dinner at like 9:30 is not too bad. But I hope I get a good night's sleep today. Yesterday and the day before, it was brutal. Brutal. It's not fun to start falling asleep and it's daylight outside already. Yes, I do remember this, Ledude. Somebody said Eddie Guerrero's a B-plus player. Look, man, the guy had like 60 followers. People look for these morons so they could put out their own social statement to get likes. That's what it is. Even 10 years ago, you ignored trolls. You ignored people that are just trying to, you know, get under somebody's skin. Now people look for it as a reason to put statements, their social take on it. Ty Conti and Sammy Guevara. You did not hear me say a peep about them this weekend. But I'll use it as an example now. Sammy Guevara and Ty Conti posted a picture New Year's Eve. They are dating. Captain fucking obvious. We talked about that before. And I see all these people out there like, oh, I feel so bad for Pam. That shouldn't have happened to Pam. And then I click on their profile, and there's no sign of them ever being involved with anything that would be classified as a human being. You want him to stay with Pam so she feels better? The fuck kind of relationship is that? And then you got other people out there. Oh, I could care less about Sammy Guevara and Ty Conti. Well, you fucking talked about it. If you don't care, you don't talk about it. But you see, that's designed. So for all the other people that don't give a shit about it, ah, yeah, I'm with you. People break up all the time. People get married. Look at Ric Flair, how many marriages he's had. Look at Jeff Jarrett and Karen Angle. We still call her Karen Angle to this day. Some people break up and they find someone else. That is life. I broke up with people. I met her. Hopefully I won't need to meet anybody else. I don't want to. So it's reciprocal with her. That's what a relationship is. People that find it so terrible that Sammy Guevara and Pam broke up and he's dating Ty Conti, that she's evil. Or JoJo and Bray Wyatt or Carmella and Corey Graves. No, they'd rather have the person stay with the other person. That's why I always tell you, any of these Nimrods that are on social media that have to put their own social take on something, just look at their profile. And if you see, you know, married, dating, kids, good job other than tweeting, you know, or not just making up some fictitious shit. Oh, I'm a superhero. I'm not almost a superhero. I am. You know, you look at people's profiles and there's nothing there. Those are people you probably don't want to take advice from. I don't think I'm wrong. Checking out some more questions. Yeah, like Psycho says, people fall in and out of love all the time. How could anybody in their right mind say, oh, I feel so bad for Pam. You know, I can't. How could Sammy do that to her? Why? Because Pam wears a sundress? She's suddenly the most innocent fucking person in this world? Do you know? Do you know what went on behind the scenes? Do you know everything? No, it just comes across, oh my God, he's kissing another wrestler on TV. How much Pam feel? Fuck you talking about? Cheating is a sin. Tell me if Sammy cheated on Pam. Do you have any facts? They broke up months ago. Months ago. Not weeks ago, months ago. They didn't tell anyone for the first 3 months. They were already broken up. It's none of our business to try to fill in the blanks. We don't know. My favorite Royal Rumble match, Peter Parker. My favorite Royal Rumble match, the one, what was it, 1991? Ric Flair. Was it 91 or 92? When Ric Flair won the WWF Championship. Why do I think 92? It was 92. Yeah. I was just like 91. No, 91 isn't sounding. 92. That was awesome. In fact, I'm not kidding. I think tonight I'm going to watch that match before I go to bed. The Royal Rumble 92 match, not even close. My go-to Royal Rumble match of all time. You have moments of gaga. So many legends, so many who are already taken, but 92 was awesome from beginning to end. And Bobby Heenan's commentary made it that much better. Gorilla Monsoon, loved 92. 92 was freaking awesome. If you've never seen the 1992 Royal Rumble match, even if most of the wrestlers you didn't even follow, as you know, you're a younger wrestling fan or a newer wrestling fan, watch it. It's very entertaining. You will enjoy it. Benjamin is asking, will WWE ever go back to Roman Reigns versus Brock Lesnar? Of course they will. Of course. You're going to let 1 week of COVID blow a major storyline that is, you know, half a year in development? Of course they are. This is Vince's way of shaking things up. See, I can't do it too well tonight because I sort of went down my esophagus earlier. No, the windpipe. I think everything goes down the esophagus. No, they're definitely going to go back to that. You know, this is why taking wrestlers off for precautions is important. Remember when I said last week, last Monday, that you only have one pay-per-view before the Royal Rumble, day one. It can't turn into day eight because if you... No, you have to be very, very careful with these wrestlers. And Roman still got COVID, and it's not WWE's fault. They're not going to punish him, obviously. Shit happens. I don't think Roman Reigns was being careless, but they are not throwing away that storyline because of 1 week or 10 days of inconvenience because of COVID. I won't be surprised if somebody from yesterday ends up getting diagnosed with COVID in the next few days. Would not be surprised. But like I said, the good thing about this Omicron, especially if you're fully vaccinated, you know, you look at those differences in percentages, you know, I hear nothing but good news right now with Roman Reigns that, you know, he's going to be back in not record time. It's got to go through the right protocol, but he will be back very, very soon. Le Dude says Rohit Raju has left Impact Wrestling as of today. That kind of sucks. That kind of sucks because he was one of the guys that I have talked about over the last year, year and a half, that I said, keep him on your radar. I'm really curious to see what he does next. You know, you could think AEW, but for what? Did you see AEW advertising Dark tomorrow? You know who's on Dark? Jay Lethal, Andrade. I think Jake Atlas has a match and somebody else. And this is what they call padding the numbers. I mean, you bring Rohit Raju to AEW. You tell me how Rohit Raju is going to leapfrog all the people that are getting pushes right now. He'll end up going 11-2, and 11 of those matches will be on Dark. So I don't know what you do. I don't know. Maybe he goes to MLW. Only one match got canceled yesterday. I don't think they ever advertised Nakamura versus Sami Zayn. Where do I want Karrion Kross to sign? Well, I think it's, as we talked about before, the long shot is Impact. There's so much damage control that would need to be done that I just don't see being done. I've talked about the papers that I saw that he was taking them to court. There was so much damage done there, and it's the same regime. So I did Killer Cross, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. I don't think he's going to get fooled twice by them. I don't know what kind of fit it would be in AEW. Like, I just think about the roster. And sure, there's a lot of fantasy matches that I could see. What was he going to do? Wrestle once a month on TV? What was he going to do? Have the entrance with Scarlett? But they don't have a match? It's just, I don't know if it would fit in. I think right now, Killer Kross would probably be best suited for MLW, GCW, working some indie promotions. I don't think Impact. I don't think AEW. I mean, I don't think it would be a good fit. If you start releasing some people from AEW, then I would say otherwise. But I don't want to see somebody there just to be put on TV once a month. I mean, look at the CM Punk stuff with MJF. That's a feud that should go 3 months minimum. And they have a six-man tag, and CM Punk is cutting a promo on Dynamite. Oh, MJF thinks it's time to move on. It's fine. I want gold instead. And everybody goes along with it like, oh, they could always go back to it. Who wants to wait? Strike while the iron is hot, motherfucker. Yes, Kross, I think, is working with EC3 too. Cross New Japan, I could see that. Sure, I could see that. The rumors of Don Callis, I don't know. I mean, Don Callis is with Kenny Omega. Kenny right now is healing from injuries. So Don Callis getting a little bit time away from there, that's totally understandable. I mean, look, the last 2 weeks, Paul Heyman is not on TV, So people took that seriously. Like, Paul Heyman's career is over. Why? I don't know, Cross and NWA. I don't know if they would pay him good enough. But then again, he could work NWA and work everywhere else. So, no, I could see him appearing in NWA. I could definitely see Killer Cross in NWA. Absolutely. NWA, the sad part is they don't have the identity they used to. But they still are doing a good enough job with what they are handed at the moment. So they could be part of it. you know, but as far as Cross signing exclusively to one promotion, not now. Not now. Tony Storm requested a release. We don't know all the details. You know, I'm not going to blame it on creative. You know, we don't know if she's homesick. We don't know if she just needs a break from wrestling. We don't know if she's just really, really nervous about COVID. We don't know if, you know, she just wants to go home. We don't know. We don't know if she is, you know, was totally against her use. You don't know. People online, you know, want to speak for her, but they don't know. You know? No, we don't know. I always want to take the respectful route that unless you hear from the person's mouth themselves, then you don't, you could speculate, you could, you know, give an opinion, but for people out there that actually claim that she left because of this or because of the pies to the face, because this, those are people just using drama. They want drama. They want Tony to be so infuriated and so pissed off that this is what I worked my ass off for. That's what they want. They want to be drama queens. I'm not going to do that. They fucking got it so wrong with Keith Lee last year that honestly, the way they treated Keith Lee, oh, Vince has nothing for him. WWE creative, he was pulled from the pay-per-view because they have nothing for him. And meanwhile, he's fighting for his life with his heart. Imagine all those podcasts and writers that wrote that shit and said that shit, not one of them apologized to the guy. Not one DM to the guy, look, man, I'm so sorry. I honestly, everybody I talked to said that, you know, it was creative. It was, they just didn't have it. And man, I'm so sorry, but I'm glad you're doing better. I mean, is that so hard to do? Yeah, it is for all these people. Drama, drama, drama. Clickbait. It's clickbait. There's no reason why we can't speculate. You know, we speculate all the time here, but at least, you know, we just give thoughts and opinions and speculate. We don't turn around and make it the focus of a conversation and try to put words in Tony Storm's mouth or anybody else's mouth when we don't know. All the furthest I would go last year with Keith Lee, and I said on the show a few times, is look, I heard it's a health issue. I don't know what it is. I know it's serious, but unless Keith Lee wants to tell everyone, you know, I'm not going to speculate on what that health issue actually is. That's what we put up there. But what did everybody go with? 100,000 hits. Oh, creative has nothing for Keith Lee. That shows you how much they give a shit about Keith Lee. They don't care about any of these wrestlers. Even the wrestlers that they like, they don't care. They just want drama. They just want controversial bitterness, hatred, mismanagement, because that attracts more people. Bischoff made a cameo. What do I think? Z Paul Senti is asking, what do I think of Bischoff on Raw last week? It was a cameo for a wedding. Bischoff did the wedding many years ago, you know, with 3-minute warning coming out, which was awesome. That's all it was. I mean, I would love to see Bischoff make more appearances, but what is he going to do? I don't know how much he could actually do for the shows. Bob is asking me, what are my thoughts on the AEW Botches account? I could care less about that account. You know, I talk about NXT. You know, it's developmental. It's where new people are trying to become wrestlers. And, you know, putting some people way too much under the microscope when they only had 2 matches in their entire career, I think is unfair. To celebrate Botches, to laugh at it, you know, if that's what somebody wants, you know what I mean? It's not for me. I don't like celebrating bullshit and fuck ups. I don't like celebrating drama. I don't like celebrating, lots of negative shit. I like to laugh. I like to smile. I like to have fun on these shows. I like, once the show is over, to go in the other room. How was your show? Oh, it was fun. We had some good laughs. It's a great conversation. You think I, you know, why would I want to? Just imagine if any of these, most of these podcasts is single, if you notice that. Imagine them, if they were involved with someone, they walk in the other room after their podcast. Hey, honey, how was your podcast? Fuck WWE. Motherfucking Bruce Pritchard. Cocksucking motherfucker. Hey, honey, how was your show? Vince, that motherfucker, why doesn't he die already? How old are you? Oh, not here. Hugh T. Hughes, 1990. Did I hear Rich Swann got COVID and Sue Young is pregnant? Very, very cool. Congrats to Sue Young and Rich Swann. And look, millions and millions of people are getting Omicron right now. Omicron is going to displace Delta by, I said by June, but a lot of people think by March we will start being the endemic phase. There's a lot of people getting Omicron that have been taking every precaution possible, and they still get it. It is very contagious. If you're fully vaccinated, you know, you have a lot more protection than someone who is unvaccinated. So all I could say is, you know, I hope he gets better quickly. And if it does fall in the category like Rollins and Reigns, then, you know, hopefully he's just out for a week. Look, before COVID, people got flu. People got stomach virus. People got, you know, you get illnesses. You get ailments. We've had that our entire lives. So Rich Swann getting it, it sucks. But hopefully, if it is Omicron and he's fully vaccinated, hopefully he'll be back in no time. All right, we're going to start bringing this home, everyone. We're at an hour and 23 minutes, so we're going to wrap this up. I want to thank everybody for hanging out tonight. Fun convo. I know we didn't do calls, but you know, you ride the ship, and I really mean that wholeheartedly. Everybody that tunes in live, obviously we can't do, you know, a live chat or a live call-in show, you know, for people on the replay. They obviously, everybody tunes in afterwards to see what we talked about. But everybody who joins me live, you ride the ship. You direct me what you want talked about. And if we have episodes, which we will, that is just live chat, you know, just doing what we did like we did tonight, that is fine with me. If we do calls, if we rotate, the last show we did calls, this show we didn't. So maybe that is a nice little formula that we'll do. I think we had some fun topics tonight that we talked about. I'm just checking out some final thoughts. I don't know anything about Matt Cardona threatening Mick Foley. So I'll look into that, and I will definitely bring it up tomorrow. I'm a little curious about that one now. So, yeah, James has got to go piss off his girlfriend. I got to go annoy my fiance. I am bird sitting again. He is here. He's inside. I mean, I could go inside and grab him, but, you know, it doesn't look professional on the show to be leaving the room empty screen for a minute. But I mean, sometime next week, maybe on Thursday's show, I'll bring him in here for a little while. But, yeah, I'm bird sitting, so I actually got to start shutting it down. He goes to sleep like around 10 o'clock, so I want to go get myself some dinner, wrap this up, put this online. If you are around tomorrow night at 11.05 p.m., Mish and I will be back for Breakfast Soup Raw. It's going to be an interesting Raw. Got to see what goes down. Don't forget what I said of the possibility that maybe Brock does not keep the belt all that long. Maybe Brock becomes Brock two belts. Maybe, you know, we get some twist at WrestleMania. I do not think we're going to get an elimination, you know, unification match. I don't think there's any way with the Fox deal and the USA Network deal that you're only going to have one heavyweight champion. So maybe somebody will carry both belts, but I don't see a unification match. But I hope you can join me tomorrow night, 11:05 p.m. Eastern. So everyone, thank you as always. And Steven is saying Mick Foley, he threatened Mick Foley to a death match. I wouldn't call it threatened. And Mick Foley could hardly move. You know, if Mick Foley thinks that he could do it, he will. But I think this is just Matt Cardona playing up the heel. I don't, you know, and look, if he's pissing people off, Cardona's probably doing a damn good job right now. So, all right, everybody, I'm out of here. Much love. Good night. And I will see you Monday night after Raw. Be well. Happy New Year.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the host. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who claim they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.